also agreeing by CSP on upcoming legislation. Maybe just to indicate to honorable members, we were destined to meet tomorrow, Wednesday, Budget Day, to look at the research programs of SAPS as well as the Civilian Secretariat. Due to certain unforeseen reasons in the budget process, we're going to just postpone that, and that might mean a Friday sitting in the next 3 weeks, but we'll keep members abreast of that. So there's no portfolio committee meeting tomorrow. So I just wanted to remind members. Maybe there's two issues in the public domain the last few weeks I just want to comment on. Before we proceed, let me give an opportunity for the delegations to be introduced by their respective principals. The one issue relates to the role and the independence of IPED. IPED is a very important institution in ensuring constitutionality and proper conduct by members of the South African Police Service. And we believe it's essential that all role players and all agencies give the necessary report to the institution. I don't think we need a process where unfounded criticism is aimed at their core business, and we, as the portfolio committee, believes that they should be able to do the job effectively, efficiently, and we will continue to monitor that space. So we also want to call on all members of the relevant institutions they oversee to adhere to that very important principle. Then second issue, we saw in the SONAR debate there was three issues that was brought to the fore in the speeches, specifically by the President. In terms of South Africa Police Service, there was three issues on the table. The one reflected on the Back to Basic campaign, the other reflected to the killing of police officers, and the third to the introduction of the two specialized units. Now, as the Portfolio Committee, we have engaged very comprehensively, I think, already on the first two issues. Since last year, November, we had about three hearings or engagements on the Back to Basics. So I think we will monitor that going forward, and also during the budget process, what is the progress with regard to that. Incidentally, we also regard to the issue of risk factors and the killing of police officers. Just before the budget speech, or the SONA, we had the seminar on the Wednesday, so we also dealt with that issue very effectively. So as a portfolio committee, we also focus on that. The third issue that came to the fore is the issue of the two specialized units that was announced by the President. I see also other members of the committee also reacted to that over the few days, and I think everybody is welcome this announcement. In terms of Chapter 12 of the NDP, it is indicated that the introduction of specialized units should be the focus of the South African Police Service. So from our side, we believe that that can contribute to more effective crime curbing, and also the issue of dealing with crime trends, especially the issue of international crime syndicates, cross-border activities by criminal gangs. We need to focus on that. But it's going to be quite essential for the committee to engage with the Minister and the DPCI on that proposal. Tomorrow's budget day, so tomorrow we will hear more what is the envisaged budgets of the institutions, SAPS and DPCI, for the next year or three. So it will be very important for us also as a portfolio committee to have that interaction and evaluate the proposals, what is the plans to set up those units. It's quite important that those units should have experience and expert police persons heading those units. It's also the issue that we raised at various times, the issue of vetting and constant screening is going to be critical if these units are going to be successful. And then the question of budget issues in terms of technology, IT. As a committee, we'll have to engage on that and see what is going to be possible and what will be the protocols in place for those units. So in general, we welcome that. But as a committee, we will have to engage on those issues very thoroughly during the budget process. So, members, those two introductory comments on my side. I will now give an opportunity to the members to introduce themselves.
Thank you, Chair President. This is Nima Vijay, everyone. Goedemorgen, dames en heren. Mijn naam is Kenjim Olivaki. Het is al het van jullie commissie. Baie dank.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, San Morani. Ik ben Musa Helen Bele, member of the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Cindy Mola, a member of this football committee.
Good morning, I'm Jerome Make, a member of this committee.
Morning, my name is Philip Nchango, a member of the committee.
Honorable members, maybe just at this stage I want to just draw members' attention to the two research reports that was provided to members, excellent position papers on these reports, and I just want to also that members make use of it. Maybe just to again indicate the 7-day rule in terms of presentations to the committee. It's quite important that departments or entities reporting to us give those reports in time so that it can be evaluated by our continent advisors and researchers, but also for the members to study. They also serve on other committees. We've got a lot of different caps on as they sit here, so it's important that we get that in time. If presentation is replaced very late, it should be communicated to the chairperson and into the committee secretariat, and members should be made aware of that. So I just want to again emphasize that. I'm going to give an opportunity to IPET to introduce them, a delegation, and we will start with IPET, and after that we're going to deal with the secretariat.
My name is Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Israel Khamayani, acting executive director of IPET. With me on my left, I'll start from my left, Boeing. That's right, next to myself, we got Mayor Mulope. She's the chief director for Program 4, stakeholder management. Next to her, we do have Ntate Tohomu. He's the acting chief director, Program 2, investigations. Then next to Ntate Komo, we have Ntate Thabo Tokolo. He's the provincial head at Western Cape. Next to him, we have Ntate Patrick Sitseri. He's the acting CFO. And next to Ntate Sitseri, we have our director of strategy, Merlin Devano Njanduka. Then at the back, we have and then Molema is the 18th provincial head, IPET Gauteng. And next to him, we have the 18th spokesperson, business spokesperson, Tate Rogi Raburabu. Then our PLO is Dr. Chris Makobotiki.
Thank you very much. I think let us start with the presentation, and after that, we will take the secretariat and the introduction. Acting EDO, you are welcome to go ahead with the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, and my apology for having sent the amended presentation at a later stage. I think if it was not yesterday, it was this morning. But the change was not so huge. We only included the issues in respect of our successes and convictions in the presentation. And the presentation outline we have the introduction, then the reporting frequency as far as the ATP is concerned, 2015-16, then the summary of consolidated performance from the 1st of April until the 31st of December 2015, and the comparison of performance for 2014-15 and 15-16. Then we'll have the summary of consolidated performance from the 1st of April up until the 31st of December 2015. Then we'll have the performance by programs for the period under review, and we'll have the third quarter financial performance for 2015-16 presented by the ATCFO, and we'll have the corrective actions and conclusions. I'm going to skip that first that slide that deals with our reporting obligations. And I will just zoom into the following slides of the introduction on slide 4. that deals with the notable successes in the cases that have been finalized in the period under review. We managed to, for the 9 months period, secure 34 criminal convictions in relation to the contravention of Section 8C, D, F, and Subsection 6. And we have eight convictions for murder. And we have 3 for rape, then 4 culpable homicide, then assault 10, then the discharge of official firearms 3. Then, honorable members will remember that we do dual reporting in respect of our final investigation, the criminal and departmental. Then we managed to secure 22 departmental convictions in your assault, common assault and GBA 14, then your murder 3, then the discharge of official firearm 3, and non-compliance with the IP Act, which is our section 33.2. Then our repeating frequency, the program 1, administration, we do have the annual target 6, then the quarterly target 3, then program 2, which is investigations and information management, we have our annual target 6 of them, then our quarterly target are 13, then program 3, legal services, we have all 11 quarterly targets there, then your last program there, program 4, which is compliance, monitoring, and stakeholder management of memo warfare, we have the quarterly targets, which are 8. In respect of the next slide, on program 1, summary of consolidated performance for the period under review, your program 1, out of 9 targets there, we managed to attain 4 at 55%, and program 2, out of 19, we managed to attain 15 at 79%, and program 3, legal services, out of 11, we managed to attain 2 at 27%. Then your program 4, compliance, monitoring, and stakeholder, we attained 7 out of 8. The percentage there is 63%. And you do the comparison in respect of our previous financial year and this financial year. Your administration from 75 to 55, and your investigation, which was very bad and poor as far as our annual reports for the previous financial year were concerned, we have managed to move from 13% in respect of the federal program to 79%. So we are on track. And your legal services there, we dropped a little bit from 30% to 27%. And your program 4 is also doing good. we managed to increase that for the 9 months period from 71 to 88%. And there is the graph there. Program 1, it will show that we have a decrease there as far as performance is concerned. In program 2, there's a huge increase as far as performance is concerned. But this is because of the interventions that we have come up with, in the sense that we managed to come up with a turnaround strategy and establish the backlog task team, which is assisting other provinces. So it shows that it yielding results. So program 3, legal services from 80 to 27, but we're working on that. Your program 4, the graph show that it has significantly improved. Then you have your overall performance there from 42 to 63 as things stand now. I will now hand over to Merlin Dema to deal with program 1.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of program 1, we had a total number of 9 targets, and of the 9 targets, we have achieved 5 so far. The indicating target for which we currently not performing that well in relation to the percentage vacancy rate, our annual target is to have that rate below 10%, and currently we're sitting at 12.8%. But because of our massive recruitment drive, we managed to hold to have interviews for most of the posts that are vacant, and in the provinces we have held interviews for 13 posts for which are waiting for results from the State Security Agency. With regard to the percentage of females employed by the directorate, our performance currently sits at 46% against the annual target of 50%. We have held interviews for the post of provincial head in Mpumalanga, and we're hoping that through the recruitment drive we'll be able to make this target as well. Then another target we currently sitting at 1% against the 2% annual target is the percentage of staff complement consisting of people with disabilities. But because all people get promoted and they move between departments, this is what is leading us to sit at that target. Again, in view of the recruitment drive, we making it a priority that we are considerate and employable with disabilities so that we can meet our target. Then in terms of the percentage of trained officials, currently our achievement is sitting at 4.5% against the annual target of 50%. With regard to this indicator, we have held engagements with the University of Pretoria for training of investigators on forensic investigation courses. We have also engaged with APOF to get into partnership in terms of developing a customized investigation training manual that will eventually get accredited. We are in the process of establishing a product team in that regard. With regard to the rest of the indicators and targets that are listed on slide number 9, we are on track and we're confident that by the end of the financial year, we should be sitting at achieving 7 out of 9 targets, particularly achieving in the area of vacancy rate per annum as well as getting females employed at the SMS level. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Rasorin. Thank you, Ms. ED, Mr. President, and all members. I'm here to present Program 2, Investigation and Information Management. Our report centers follows. The percentage of cases registered and allocated within 72 hours of receipt of the notification. Our target is 90, we are at 92. Number of statistical reports generated on the number and type of cases investigated. Recommendations made and the outcomes thereof. Our energy is 80. We are now at 18%. Percentage of all decision-ready investigations finalized. Target is 58. We are at 61. Percentage of investigations of death as a in custody. Case that are decision-ready. Target is 70. Target is 50. We are at 24. Percentage of investigations of death as a result of police action cases that are decision ready to finalized. Target is 50, we are at 58. Percentage of investigations of discharge of an official firearm cases by police officials that are decision ready. Our target is 58, we are at 65. Percentage of investigations of rape cases by a police officer that are decision ready. The target is 62, we are at 64. Percentage of investigations of rape cases while in police custody that are decision ready. Our target is 62, we are at 83. Percentage of investigations of torture cases that are decision ready. Our target is 50, we are at 44. Percentage of investigation of assault cases that are decision ready. Target is 50, we are at 16. Percentage of investigations of corruption cases that are decision ready and finalized. Our target is 50, we are at 51. Percentage of investigations of other criminal and misconduct matters referred to in section 28, 1H and 35. Target is 50 or 58. Number of systemic corruption cases identified and referred for approval. The annual target is 9 or 7. Percentage of approved systemic investigations that are decision ready. The target is 2 or 7. Percentage reduction of backlog cases, excluding cases of systemic corruption, our target is 50 by 8.88. Percentage increase of criminal recommendations to prosecute that are placed on a court quadron. That the progressing in will be reported on the court for at the end of the financial year. We don't have numbers now. Percentage increase of disciplinary recommendations where disciplinary processes are initiated. Our target is 10%. We have been awaiting the complete report. We'll be reporting on quarter four. The percentage of criminal recommendation reports referred to the National Prosecuting Authority within 30 days recommendation report being signed off. Our target is 80, we are at 72. The percentage of disciplinary recommendation reports referred to the South African Police Service and or Municipal Police Service within 30 days of recommendation report being signed off. Our target is 80, we are at 84. If you think that should proceed with our convictions and sentencing.
In respect of the summary, as far as the conditions are concerned, we have your third one, your Eastern Gate there. We do have four for the convictions, literally the life imprisonment there and 15 years imprisonment as well as the 3 years for external supervision and 15 years imprisonment. You go to the Free State, there's a number of those particular criminal criminal convictions, but notably is that one of the two life imprisonment for rape. I think it was the Botshabelo case and your first one, the 50 years, and your 8 years in respect of the last one. And it continued to the second page, the 15 years imprisonment for murder, and your KZN criminal convictions. We do have the most of them range from 10 years upwards, but there are four criminal convictions. And your Western Cape, with the huge number there, you have six of those particular matters with criminal convictions. In Mpumalanga, it's one with 18 years. Then your Limpopo, there you've got one. Then your Northern Cape, you've got one. And the last one is in respect of the departmental convictions. We separated your criminal and your departmental convictions, but most notably ones is where there were the dismissals of the members there. I think I will hand over to Tate Tokolo to do the program three.
Yes, Chairperson and honorable members, thank you, Idi. In terms of program 3, as reported in the summary by the Idi, out of 11, we have met 2, but we still, in the areas that we did not meet the target, like percentage of contract and service level agreements finalized within 30 days of requests, we were able to do 75% of them out of the total 90, and we are saying that it is a work in progress. It's possible that at the end of our financial year, we'll report a different picture. The same applies to the percentage of written legal opinions provided to the directorate within 21 working days of request. In this regard, we are also saying that it's a work in progress, and we might report a different picture at the end of the financial year. And our skip those areas where we are performing well and look in terms of the percentage of written legal advice provided to investigators within 48 hours of request, 60% instead of 90. I think most of the time that investigators do get the legal request, legal advice, but it is not within 48 hours, and we are working with our legal office to improve this one, because it's quite critical for the performance of our core mandate in terms of providing legal advice within the required period. In terms of the policing powers, we have got 33% of the 100%, and I think the shortcoming that you've noted is that most of the time that the documents are not being complete and they have been sent backward, forward, and up until that time that the time has lapsed. So we managed to do 8 out of 24. And with regard to the review of the policy, programs, we do not submit any policy for review for this financial year, but maybe before the end of the financial year, some policies that will be submitted will be attended to. And then with regard to the number of the directives there, and then there are 2 out of 4, we will definitely report the different picture there. And then with regard to the prior requests, we are saying that 51 out of 100 is unlikely that we might meet the target, reason being most of the information that's been requested, we find that some investigators are not. We see the office during the time of the request, and they have the case docket with them, so they are unable to provide the information quickly. But as soon as they get back to the office and we provide the information, send it to the legal office for them to file the prior request. And with regard to the number of intervention, with regard to the backlog, we did 6 out of 9, and we should be in a position to report a different picture at the end of the financial year. The same thing is applicable with regard to the legal job conducted, which is 7 out of 12. So, thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members.
Chairperson, honorable members, in terms of performance for Program 4, I must say out of the 8 targets that we have, until the end of December, we managed to achieve in all but one, which is the Community Policing Forum meeting. But as I'm talking to you right now, the picture is different because the 90 that we had at the end of December, which was what we achieved, is now what we still need to do. So the picture is really promising. Thank you.
Okay, Chairperson, I will now ask the first lady to deal with the last part of our presentation on the budget.
Thank you, Chairperson, TED, honorable members. I'm going to take the honorable member through the financial performance of the IPED as at the end of December 2015. On page 31, the index covers the summary of the budget and expenditure, the breakdown per program, as well as the conclusion. In terms of the summary, it shows all the 4 programs of the IPED. In terms of the spending, the first program, which is administration, spent 72% of its allocated budget. Second program, investigation and management, spent 71% of its allocated budget. Third program, which is legal services, spent 80% of its allocated budget. The last program, which is program 4, compliance monitoring and stakeholders management, utilized 71% of its allocated budget. The overall share pattern is 71% against the target of 75%, which is 4% less than the target for that particular period. As far as economic classifications are concerned, competition of employees is the only item that showed the underspending. It was at 69%. Goods and services, 75%. Transfers and subsidies, 100%. Payments for capital assets, it was sitting at 95%. In terms of the reason, Chairperson, as I've indicated, competition of employees is only item that shows the underspending, and mainly due to the funded positions that were not filled during the financial year, based on the delay that was caused by the SSA rating results. And majority of those positions, the recruitment process has been concluded. The department was waiting for vetting. On page 34, I'm taking you through the programs. First program is administration. Chapter 10, it shows the 70% on compensation of employees, which is 5% less than the target based on the reason stated. The funded positions that were not filled due to the vetting process delays. Second program, Chairperson, on page 35 of our presentation, investigation and information management. It also shows the underpinning in your composition of employees because of majority of the referred vacant positions were investigators, and the delay also caused the underspending there by 6%. Page 36, Chairperson, legal services. By the reporting period, it was sitting at 80% overall. However, we monitored the condition of employees in order to see if they remain within the allocation, and we have been agreed that if there is a need, we'll do what we call an internal shifting of funds to make sure that they remain within the allocated budget. But overall, they've performed well. Page 7, compliance, monitoring, and stakeholder management. Chairperson, the only worrying factor was business services, sitting at 56%, based on the current engagement that the program is currently doing with stakeholder engagement, and we are expecting the this item to grow after they've sent all the inquiries related to the stakeholder engagement that they are currently conducting. Chairperson, in terms of the conclusion, the department has since started the capacity in the internal vetting unit in order to address the problem that was identified as far as spending compensation of employees. And overall, there is a regular monitoring of the expenditure. The acting ED has requested that we present the weekly expenditure report in order to make sure that we spend within the allocated budget. Thanks.
Chairperson, with regards to the concluding remarks, the Health Department, we are saying with regards to the achievements, strategic objectives and targets, there are huge improvements overall, particularly with regards to our core business. They need to consider raising our performance as far as the previous financial year is concerned. The departmental expenditure will be monitored continuously to maintain financial prudence. Where targets have not been met, there are catch-up plans in the form of intervention mechanisms that we have put in place in order to make sure that by the end of the financial year, end of March, we will be able to have made sure that we have attained all these particular targets. And the implementation of the general strategy is in progress, which may enhance performance in respect of our program 2. Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members.
Thank you, King Edie, for the presentation. I think, in general, there is a big improvement since last year in spending patterns, but we will have to go to those issues that is of concern and also give an opportunity to the members. The first two from my side, in terms of legal services, you've spent 80% of your budget, but if I look at the targets, it is really not good enough. Can the acting ED please indicate us what is your problem with relation to your legal staff? The fact that only 2 out of 11, it's just not acceptable. If you compare it with your other performance indicators, so we need an assurance. You don't got the people, is there a problem? Because from the portfolio committee side, you need to drastically make those interactions. Then secondly, the question of vacancies. A lot of the vacancies is in your core program. Now, just hypothetically, if the Minister of Finance says tomorrow you must, all vacancies will not be funded, there's going to be serious consequences for you in terms of your core budget. Maybe just in terms of the process of filling those vacancies, where are we today? So if there's 50 vacancies, how many has been appointed that we can just get a picture? Because if for instance, that scenario plays out, it will affect your core business.
Thank you, Dave. Chair, let me start with this in that it's only a technical issue, but it's made this important for the finances. For instance, if you look at your slide 32, it is quite clear. The figures we're talking about there, you add another 3 zeros. But if you look at other slides, what that slide is actually saying, because it doesn't say whether we add any zeros or not. If I look for instance at slide 34, as it stands now, it says 42,409. That is adjusted budget. Yes, logically I think I can do, but that is not the way you report on finances. You put the north in there. So. Jefferson, the other issue is, I don't understand. If you look, for instance, at slide 5, for instance, your program 2, investigations, information, and it says the annual target is 6. But the quarterly target is 13. Now, as far as I know, there are 4 quarters in one annual period. I don't understand that. It is the same of, that one. The other one is as well as legal services, Jefferson. As you already pointed out on your slide 6, 2 out of 11, 27 performance. But if you look, for instance, at your slide, the number is not supposed to be 28. If you look at those targets, it's the same period. And I don't have an explanation why the difference is this. Only as far as how can I get an explanation? I have my understanding of it, but I'm not sure whether it's the correct one. Because if you look at slide 28, it doesn't look bad. Not that bad. But the targets is not acceptable for me. For instance, I'll comply with those two at this moment. Thank you.
Honorable Mabija. Honorable Malabasi.
My question is, what is the status of your vetting process? In short, is everybody vetted? And I don't know where to go. Tell us about the challenges you incurred with the clearing of your debt. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. First quick question is just to pick up on a point that the acting director made in his opening remarks. I noticed that we're joined by an acting CFO today. Just to inquire on what happened to Ms. Nono, just an update on that. It's a question with lots of little elements, but it is one big question, and it relates to it relates to basically the breakdown report of the criminal and departmental convictions. The first one is, let me just find that place. Here we go. Okay, so in slides 14 and slide 15, I know that this is on the court's end of the criminal justice chain, but I just wanted to get an explanation if the acting director, the acting ED and his team are aware what the reason is for the discrepancy between some of the convictions obtained for rape. Because I see in the Free State we had the 20 August sentence was times 2 life imprisonments for rape. The second September one was only 8 years imprisonments, which seems a bit odd for me, as I would think one gets at least 10 years. And then even more surprisingly, the 21 July conviction also in the Free State was only 2 years imprisonment for rape. Is actually easily aware of what the mitigating circumstances were in that, because it doesn't sound or look good when you just get the base face sentence that it's 2 years imprisonment for rape. It sounds like a terrible miscarriage of justice. And then linked to that is just in terms of the departmental convictions, a couple of them jumped out at me as looking very light for very serious offences, primarily around murder. You know, there's suspended dismissals, mostly dismissals, suspension without pay. I don't want to get the clarity, because initially I thought, what the hell is going on here? But then I realized maybe there's a two-track process going on. This is the departmental track that's been implemented, but this is a criminal thing happening on the other side. And I just get clarity if that is the case, because last thing you want is a headline that says, I pick one who secures, you know, dismissal for murder. You know, thanks, Chair.
Hello.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Alpit, for your presentation. In Program 2, on investigations and information, out of 16 targets, you only achieved 2. What? On training of investigators, it's 4.5. Instead of 50%. It's so little. You know, training is so important. If you are 4.5 out of 50%, thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Honorable Mark.
Thank you, Chairperson.
I think all my questions were asked. But still on the departmental disciplinary procedures, how do they really relate to the criminal charges? Surely they can't go parallel. If a person is charged criminally, then my understanding is that the departmental might follow. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Tungu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'd like to know on program performance, that is 29, slide 29, as to what are the constraints as you record that for you to achieve the set target is unlikely in terms of you having direct contact with the community coalition forums. Do you have maybe some kind of resistance either from the side of sector policing division, so that I'm running the session, Mr. Chairperson, because it's very much important for us to ensure that communities play their role in ensuring complete oversight role over effective policy, which I think at the end of the day, it will also assist IP to work with well-informed kind of communities. But if you tend to look at that slide, it tells you that through their own admission, they say it seems very much unlikely for them to achieve this target. So what could be the constraints in that particular area? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Minister, for the first round. Acting DD and your team, you're welcome to respond.
Thanks, Chairperson and Honourable Members. my team will assist me with regards to some of the questions relating to problems which they are presented on. I will try to cover the majority of the questions. In respect of the legal services, 80% spent vis-a-vis the targets there. We, as management, are aware of that particular problem, and there is management or leadership vacuum or challenges there as far as that particular program is concerned, but we are assisting in intervening as far as making sure that we assist them with regards to the performance of the particular program. The only difficulty in respect of that is where you'll have all your program staff members on incapacity. So some of those things you don't have control over them. The last other week I was in Cape Town for a whole week, and I was looking for legal services because there was a certain matter that has to be attended to. And I was informed on a Wednesday that there is no one at the particular program. Everyone was on sick leave. So those are some of the challenges that we are faced with as the department, because you can't have your chief director, your director, your senior legal admin officers at the DG level together with their PH, some of them together with their PH, all of them on sick leave. we are dealing with the situation. Some of these particular issues we just have to accept that they will be there until there is stability within the department. We can't shy away and run away from those particular challenges. In respect of the vacancies, there is a process that is underway in making sure that we have advertised almost all our vacancies, and we do have a recruitment plan in place which we continuously keep on updating it, and the vacancy status report that is being monitored and presented in our EXCO and our main committees. The only challenge there is that we have done the interviews, but we can't move because the FTC, we can't appoint anyone up until that particular person has been pre-screened by the SA. So we have submitted, yes, and when we have recommended one person, the first best and the second best, we same time submit those two names to the SSA to run the issue of the pre-screening. But in order to deal with that particular issue for the whole of this financial year, we were busy setting up the processes and the training and everything as far as our vetting unit is concerned. So comes the 1st of April, this particular function, including qualifications, verifications, we are going to do it in-house. So that particular training they have received from the SSA. So we won't have this particular problem anymore as far as the vetting of staff members is concerned before employment. The slide in respect of 32 that deals with finance, I think at this stage you will deal with regards to that. In respect of the okay, legal services, this is the budget I've tried to address that. The status in respect of the vetting, everyone who's in establishment of ITIT, permanent employees have been pre-screened, because we'll pre-screen you first, then when you are inside, after employment, we'll give you the Z2 of us where we'll do the detailed vetting. So we'll screen you first to check your background as far as the qualifications, the criminal, and your finances as to whether they are in order even before we appoint you. And if that's not the case, then you are not employable, I think. The CFO, she's on maternity leave. She's coming back. The maternity leave is ending end of May. So this lady, she's already the deputy CFO there. So there is a continuity as far as that particular component is concerned. Your slide 14-15. Discrepancies there in respect of the conditions as far as rate case are concerned. I think it's going to be difficult for us to indicate, but I think this case is being dealt with by the courts and justice on its merits, and it depends on severity of the case itself, because that one of the two life imprisonments, that one it was worse. I still remember the case where these police officers were expected to escort a female prisoner from Botswana back to Kroonstad, and along the way they just stopped there and raped her in the van. And then they were arrested, the two of them, the police officers. And I think that's the one that resulted into a 2-life imprisonment. In respect of the departmental convictions on the matter, why the suspended dismissals and why the sentences for sanctions, they vary there. And even this one, discipline is a management function. We do our investigations as IPIT. We submit the departmental recommendations to SAS management to take departmental steps against their own member. The regulations is very clear that in actual fact they are not supposed to wait for our recommendations. The regulations, subs the regulations say immediately after the commander becomes aware of the conduct of the supervisee, he or she has to take departmental steps against that particular person. So we do our reports in respect of departmental recommendations, and we are citing the relations. So we don't even state that the subs number is contained neither, as in the criminal recommendations. We'll go to a specific list of the charges that are listed in their own regulations, then we'll state that according to this, this subs number is committed this kind of misconduct as contained in the regulations. But let me club that with regards to the difference between our recommendations. In one file, will have two recommendations, departmental and criminal, going to sub-management. This other one goes to the DPP for decisions. So all these particular reports, they are not conclusive. We have to apply their minds on what we have recommended. The recommendation is just a recommendation. But if we feel that their final decision, we don't agree with regards to them, both of them, there is nothing stopping us from requesting reasons as to why they decided contrary to what they have recommended as the IPT. But in respect of that particular suspended initials and all of those things, I know CSP, they are busy with a framework or a paper, a policy that deals with standardization of the sanctions as far as departmental matters are concerned. And the issue of the issue of training in respect of that particular target of less as compared to the 50%, we spoke at length in respect of this during our 2 weeks presentation as far as the training of investigators was concerned, that we have identified that particular shortcoming, and we promised the portfolio committee that we will come up with a training plan which will make sure that it's been monitored and implemented. In this financial year, there was a particular training plan costed, and implementation was delayed. That's one of the issues that we are dealing with from responsible people who were entrusted with that particular responsibility of making sure that that particular training plan is implemented. But we have brought in APCOG to assist us as the University of Pretoria in respect of tailor-made training for IPT investigators and stop the reliance on such trainings for our investigators. And okay, the issues in respect of the CPFs, Mayor Molope will respond to that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. To respond to Honorable Mfongo, his question was based on the lab target on slide number 39, that is number of local committee policing forum meetings attended per year, whereby the comment is saying we are unlikely to achieve the target. Yeah, I must say that is really concerning. But when you look at the trend to say previously what has been the performance with regards to this target, and I say that in our previous meeting today, the challenge with the target is that it is more of a dependency target. That's why the challenge, because we don't have dedicated officials tasked to do this. And the people we have in the provinces are more focused on the investigations. And as you are aware, in terms of the performance of our core business, that has not been good in the past until now when this intervention strategy was introduced. So more energy is channeled towards investigations. But I must say, on the side of Program 4, we have come up with our own intervention strategy pertaining to this very target. That's why when I presented, I said, as at the end of December 2015, we had achieved 19. But now, it's the other way around. The 19 is what we need to do to achieve our targets towards the end of the year. So, as I'm speaking, we've got a series of CPF meetings lined up, and I'm positive this target is going to be attained. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to give something that Honorable Mola said pertaining to things like double jeopardy. So when we charge people criminally, they get sentenced to whatever years, at the same time, the APS is charging them criminally. I think the two things they go parallel, they are different actually. Because in court may say we charge this person for murder, but the police may say he brought the police in a dispute, charging for that. So in the end, it ends up being dismissed from the police. a letter in time you may find that it has filed ready consent, it appears. So they will always go hand in hand, the two. We can't do some it, some out. The question raised by Honorable Maki, I just didn't understand it, ma'am. I didn't get it at all. Could you elaborate? Targets of so many and then achieving two. Maybe achieve two, I don't know which target are those. I didn't get it.
Well, Chairperson, I think what was asked by Honorable Mola was attributed to me in other way.
Thank you. I'm Honorable Mola. He's Honorable Maki. Yeah, two out of, in slide four, program two, investigation of investigation and information. Target is 16. When the 18th CD presented, she said 4 years. This number, I can't see this number of you, the small one.
Okay, can I just assist the Honorable Chairperson number?
Okay.
That particular target relates to, because we are doing a comparison, relates to the 2014-15 financial year, where it was the 13% target, but you take it to this financial year, the period under review, it's 15 out of 19. So we're just wanting to give Honorable members and Chairperson the picture in respect of the improvement, given the previous performance and the under review performance.
Honorable Shlongu, is this follow up on the same issue?
Yes, it's a follow-up issue, Chairperson, not necessarily on the same issue, but my little bit of a worry, Chairperson, was on the question that I raised, noting that the head of the department raised various hiccups in terms of their recommendations to the police, and which times won't be successfully implemented accordingly. Now, my main worry, Chairperson, will always be the question of a disempowered component of the community. I understand IP is a very small division. One cannot expect it to have a budget that can actually cover the rest of the runs. I wonder, Chairperson, if maybe we can actually then look specifically to this, because I am very much convinced that we can disempower civil society organs, because CPF represent, according to my understanding, civil society. If those people are disempowered, even our role here as an oversight would be completely defeated. So in order to avoid the hinges, because we know that at times you will find some commanders really shooting their own members, whatever political reasons, and actually then calling rapshots even upon the API, in order to ensure that they don't actually achieve their set objective. I think then something will have to be done in ensuring that there is an orchestra type of, I think, because I think in other sections of the police, they also have, these people are actually rendering a service that must ensure that our people at the end of the day enjoy maximum security in line with the laws of the country. But if then there is this particular gap, you will find that I am quite with this. For example, if you go to Umla's police station, you will find senior commanders colluding with junior members in serious wrongdoings, and nobody will be able to penetrate that, not unless there is a particular enabling regulation or act that will ensure that at the end of the day, they are not the final appetites remain. Somewhere a decision must be taken, or else a person that will be able to actually then call upon a mandatory execution of this particular act to say what is it. Because if it is left to the IPH, you will find a conversation, for example, like what we saw previously between the Scorpions and police, and at the end of the day, they will pay this cost.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think the issue of CPFs is a knowledge issue that's within the Secretary's mind. We'll come to that when we do that. Thank you, Honourable Members. Other responses before we go to round two?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, on page slide 32, the comment that was raised by Honourable Members in terms of inconsistency on the summary and the program is noted. In our future presentation, we'll put all the zeros in all the programs. Thanks.
Is that all the responses? Right, let's go through round two, maybe from my side, and I'll go to the other members. Maybe just the issue of the 50 million, the 5 million that was indicated when you picked us on the Marikana investigation. Where is that 5 million spread? Is it over more than one financial year? If you can just maybe clarify that point to us. Then there was a considerable hike in your advertisement costs. I presume it's got to do with maybe all these vacancies. Treasury is quite strict with regard to that, so if you can just maybe respond to that issue. Right, let's go to the other members, Honourable Funavalt and then Honourable Molabasi.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I must be quite honest, I'm a bit worried about IBIT because, you know, IBIT is there for the public. That if they have problems with the police services and actions of the police services, they must have the trust to go to IBIT to lay their complaints, and that they have the right to a proper investigation. Now, if you look, for instance, besides the form of 5% of program to administration that says that only form of 5% of people are trained, but the acting CEO is saying that he got to the legal department, everybody's on leave. With great respect, what happened? Were corrective steps being taken? And if I look, Chairperson, for Program 2, for instance, because that is actually the most important program as far as I'm concerned, that is the investigations and the information management. If you look at the targets, most of them are 50%. Percentage of investigations of deaths, 60% target. Percentage of the deaths as a result of police action, 50%. You can go on like that. Investigations of torture, 50% target. Investigations of assault, 50%. Corruption, 50%. Other criminal misconduct, 50%. And then it comes to the percentage of reduction of backlog cases, also 50%. So what are we saying? And if you look at the performance, there is an underperformance. So the bigger picture is that if we take all the cases referred to IPED, only 50% are really, as far as investigation is concerned, is done. And so there's a backlog. And on that backlog, we set the target only 50%. Jefferson, last year I also complained about the low standards of the targets. It has not improved. It's a serious problem. And maybe we should get a breakdown of the personnel numbers in each province that we know what is going on. Because at this moment, according to this report, I want to say there's a total underperformance when it comes to IPED, and you cannot expect the public to have trust in IPED at this moment. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I think the issue of targets, we will have to address at the committee, and we will have to get increase in the targets. I mean, that's the reality. But we'll discuss that. Honourable Molabaji.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. We welcome the reduction in expenditure on the consultants because it has been an issue for many years with the committee. My second point is on, I'm sorry, the President called, in his honors, called for us as citizens to cut on expenditure. But I see here, your travel in a subsistence is going up and up and up. How do you hope to address this? Thank you.
Because I think in the previous round there was a question on the question of debt management. I don't think we've got that response. If we can also get that in the next round. Honourable Mabija, you covered?
Yes. Honourable Mbele. Thanks, Chair. I think the turnaround strategy seems to be yielding some good results on the financial spending and financial management side of things. Because I remember since the start of this parliament, the issue of underspending was the most glaring problem that we were harping on about. And so the tight monitoring and other interventions seem to be yielding or bearing fruit in that regard. But I think, like the Honourable Afunavol says, there are still some big questions around performance gaps, whether with reference to quite low targets, but also with reference to some real-life experience that's been happening over the last period. I can think of at least two instances when fellow MPs of mine, when they were assisting to report cases to the IPED, one in Gauteng and one in Mpumalanga, there wasn't even an acknowledgement of receipts from the provincial office in the submission of their complaints. So it becomes a whole effort of following up, and you just don't know if it's been lost in the ether or is it just the admin backlog. And we do note here that the administration program has got the second highest vacancy rate, so I think it might speak to that as well. So just to ask the SNED and the team, you know, what's been done to really jack up on the administration side of things, because that's literally half the operation. You've got thousands of things coming at you from the public. Complaints and so on, and those need to be processed systematically so that, you know, you just kind of don't clog up the machinery. So just some elaboration on what's going to be done further as part of the turnaround strategy to improve the administration side of things. And then my other question was just to find out the reason for the underachievements of the targets on local CPF meetings attended. I'm not going to claim that ITED's attendance at CPF meetings is going to be a game changer necessarily, but the fact is the target is there, and so if there's such an underperformance in that regard, what's the reason for that? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is not a question, it's a request. I hear that you got 46% on female employees. Can you please implement 50%? Thank you.
If you are on the market.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a comment. I keep on saying that my pitch up the target if you don't have the resources, because it will definitely not work out. If you can't manage, why then put that target? Because we are going to assess you according to the target that you yourself have put there. If you don't have resources financially, you don't have resources in human resource, it doesn't help according to me. It was just a comment. My question would be on the slide number 4, non-compliance with the IPED Act. Usually, how does that happen? Is it just defiance from some police officers? And is it not a criminal offense not to comply with that act? And if that is the case, why only departmental? Why doesn't it also appear in the criminal convictions? Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Marker. Honourable Fungu, well covered. Thank you. Members, those are the questions for the last round. Maybe anything additional? Maybe just from my side, can we maybe just get any discussion also from the ED? Is there currently any cases that's being handled by IPED? I profile cases as well. We do not get the necessary support and cooperation from the South African Police Service. And especially in what province is it, or is it at the head office? Those are the questions from our side.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. The piece that the last part of the question, in respect of the shops management, as far as all the AP cases are concerned, including high profile cases, we do get the necessary cooperation from shops management, because as and when we encounter problems with the junior staff members, then we'll escalate those kind of concerns to shops management, both at national and in the provinces, and they are able to assist us with regards to each and everything that we want. But also the IDIC Act is very clear in respect of the cooperation by all entities with the IDIC, and if they fail to do that, then there are consequences as far as the IDIC Act is concerned. And the slide 4, in respect of the non-compliance with the IP Act, in section 33 of the IP Act, there is a section there which deals with the issue of non-compliance with the Act itself in respect of the reporting obligations that there, as far as SAPS is concerned, on section 29, that as and when they become aware of any matter that is contained in section 28.1a up until H, then they are supposed to, up until F, they are expected to report immediately those particular matters to the IPIT and follow up that particular reporting with the report, written report, in the prescribed form within 24 hours. So the non-compliance comes as and when they fail to do that. Then we open the non-compliance case, a criminal case docket. Because it says whoever who fails then can face an imprisonment of 2 years. We have been opening those particular cases from 2012 as and when the Act came into effect. We have had engagements with the National Prosecuting Authority where they were reluctant to charge those particular police officers or especially management, because the Act relates to specify that those particular reports must be made to IP by the station commander of that particular station, where they were reluctant to prosecute SAPS members as far as that particular section is concerned. But we were never deterred. We kept on opening those particular cases, engaged them, and we even engaged the national NDPP in the step of heading all those particular matters from all the provinces and gave them to the national NDPP to intervene as far as the particular matter is concerned. The reasoning behind the reluctance was the issue of whether the police were aware of that particular section 39, that what in respect of what is expected of them. But my understanding is that as and when there is a statute signed off and is there in the public, everyone is expected to know what is expected of him as far as that particular statutory law is concerned. But we have even went further, because that's what they said, that as the IP we must at least do the workshops in all the substations and cluster commander cities. We have done that almost in all the provinces to make them aware of the provisions of the Act and what is expected of them and the IP mandate. So even while we have done that, there's still that problem like this, but we keep on opening those particular cases, because at the end of the day, that's the right thing to do. And even the reports that we sent, we set the criminal recommendations, any departmental recommendations. So hence only the departmental recommendations that we are having here, but even the number there is very low, because those parameters still have them at an increased number there. To pitch out the targets when we don't have the resources, and I'm going to clap it with that one of why our targets are too low or they are 50% as the IPs. And that will mean that that 50% according to this one now is too high. And on the other hand, that 50% is too low. And we are given the budget by Parliament. And after the budget vote, the process is to, for us, is how are we going to spend the federal budget. And that's where we express the federal budget in the form of strategic plan, where all IP managers will come up there and come up with a strategy of how we're going to spend the federal budget. But that inform us, because we can't just wake up and say our targets will be 50% or will be 100%. What inform us is our historical information in the sense that we must take you from our previous performance. There's no way you'll underperform and you come and increase the targets. You are going to make matters worse, leaving for the other department. So there are baselines that we use as the department and when we do our strat plans, and we'll take you from those particular baselines. So those particular targets are set by management and program managers agreed to those particular targets, and the business plan or the operational plan talks to the costing of the particular objectives or the targets. So as and when we came out of the quarter, we are normally convinced that given the resources that we are having as a department, we'll be able to attain the departmental targets. Honorable members will know that if we will have taken the two from our previous performance as far as our annual report is concerned, in actual fact, this particular target will have been very, very low. But I refuse that we must decrease those particular targets. We maintain them if all to the level where they are, then we will say to ourselves, let's give it possibly a year, and we just have to make sure that we will attain those particular targets as far as the department is concerned. But the interventions that are assisting us to attain particular targets, those are the short-term measures. The medium and the long-term is as and when we are saying we've got 500 workloads of cases, then we have as a department 163 investigators nationally. Then we divide that particular number according to the investigators that are heavy. Then possibly we'll have 50, whatever, I'm just giving an example, we'll have 50 investigate. The long term would be, you find that your smaller provinces, your Northern Cape, your Free State, your Limpopo, your Northwest, and your Mpumalanga, there are investigators who are underutilized. That's the bottom line. But previously, in actual fact, there was a mistake. Instead of allocating the resources to where they are needed most. Because previously, as and when I give in the budget and say, I paid for the following financial year, I have 9 investigators. Then the managers won't even be informed by need. But they will just say, 9, we've got 9 provinces, then 1, 1, 1, 1 per province. That's the mistake that is there, and those people are there. And to remedy the situation or address the problem, It's only when SMN, the post becomes vacant at Northern Cape, then we take it from the post and advertise it for Western Cape. Because now the task team that we are talking about is concentrating on your Gauteng, KZN, your Western Cape, your Eastern Cape. So that's where we are having a problem. And the sooner we address it with regards to the redistribution of the resources in the form of personnel is concerned, the better. So that's our long-term approach as far as this particular issue is concerned. But if people are still there, they are not leaving, there's nothing that we can do. Unless if a person comes from, is at Northern Cape and he comes from Western Cape, then there's nothing stopping us from engaging him and transferring him to that particular province. So that's the approach that we are heading to. 46% of SMS members, we are moving towards that. One of our members, there is one provincial head post in Mpumalanga. We are just praying that when we sign off this week or latest next week, and that particular person recommended will be a female. And the issue in respect of administration of improvement, okay, I've elaborated on the short-term, medium-term, and the long-term approach to make sure that we address these particular issues within the departments. The underspending credit, when it's okay, the underspending in respect of the tight monitoring of the budget. I think that this city will respond to that one. The issue in respect of the high of the spike as far as our S&T is concerned, our operations or the nature of the work that we are doing as the audits, this particular issue, it has been raised in many portfolio committee forums, and we can't do without it because the nature of the work that we are doing is that the investigators, they must be on the field 24/7 around the clock, not even in the office. So we must go and collect the documents around the provinces, investigate those parameters, and come to the office and just do the administration part of the file where they will just compile the reports. But most of the time, they are traveling outside the office, they are staying in accommodations, and utilizing the S&Ts and the cell phone claims and the operations as far as the motor vehicles are concerned. So that's the nature of what that we are doing as the IPs. Okay, I've tried to answer this one of the 50% of the targets.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks. We can take a 10-minute break. When we come back, we want to either to just finalize the responses in about 7 to 10 minutes, and then we'll go to the secretariat. So members, 10 minutes, tea break. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. We must continue with our meeting. Before the tea break, we had the acting ED responding, and we'll allow himself and his team another opportunity for the other response. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, in respect of the 4.5 training corrective steps that are taken, we are in the process of making sure that we take appropriate steps against the people who are responsible for the implementation of the product training plan, because it was costed and it was approved by the head of the department at the beginning of the financial year. And the issue in respect of the 5 million on the Marikana project, we costed the product project and we made a request during the adjustment of the budget during November. Then we got the disapproval from cabinet as far as the regular request is concerned. So we are now giving that particular request of funding for the Marikana. Now we are using our own baseline in the sector of our savings from whatever programs to implement those that are alarm recommendations. Other members will respond to
other questions.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Chairperson, the question relating to advertisement of cost. Chairperson, you're quite right. The SNED has indicated that there's a recruitment rise. So
So as a result of that, there were a number of adverts that were placed. And again, there's this challenge where you recruit internally, sort of an internal promotion, and you then have to re-advertise again. So it appears as a double sort of spin on one position. So that tells them. And as far as travel and substance, I think ED has already said on that. And maybe to add on that is that since the establishment of this backlog team, we have seen an increase as far as that expenditure is concerned. With regard to that management, IPIT has established a team that people responsible for the task management and working in conjunction with our legal services. For the past 2 financial years, we've seen a substantial reduction as far as the list is concerned. And then the last one, I think, is now is attended to is on 5 million. Thanks.
Any other responses? Is that all of it?
I think there was this last response of CPF charges, why they were not met. I think we have, in our presentation, we stated that we have taken note of that, and we have taken a decision that each province, before the end of the financial year, should do 3 CPF meetings, which will be up to 21, and which will be our target, because we are left with 19 for us to meet the actual target. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All members happy? It's not a question, so I'm not going to elicit any response. It's more of a comment that was triggered by what the Action ED said in terms of station commanders either not knowing or claiming not to know their compliance responsibility in terms of the IPIT Act. And that triggers for me that at some point perhaps the committee program could revisit the issue of the establishment of deputy station commanders that we've been hearing about for more than a year. Because I do I've come across instances where local station management feels that there are so many national instructions and standing orders coming at them from left, right, and centre. They actually don't have a chance to properly integrate them into the running the day running of the station. And I understand that deputy commanders are meant to be the more administrative operation in the station to ensure that that side of things becomes integrated and the operational side is handled by the actual commander. So if the service is failing to keep up with the rollout of those deputy commanders to be able to integrate and absorb all the instructions that come down to ground level, then that's where the gaps are around ensuring this compliance.
Is that approval? Sure, there's also another question is that I hear what has been said about the standards. I don't accept that. For me, it's not acceptable. I mean, if the acting ED tells her that he came to the legal department in Western Cape and everybody were on sick leave, it says there's a core problem. It's not acceptable. Professor.
Right, thank you, honourable members, for your contribution in this first part of the meeting. Also, thank you to the acting ED and his team for their presentation of the third quarterly. Maybe just a few comments from my side and a few follow-ups. I think the issue of targets is an issue we must still debate as a committee going further, because at the end of the day, the problem is if you set the target too low, that means you're going to have an ever-occurring backlog. The dilemma is if we're going to see the budget cuts tomorrow that we all anticipate, you're not going to have the luxury of having task teams to do backlog. So you will actually have an increase in your backlog. So it's about well-trained, well-resourced people that can do that. So that's an issue. I think when we come to the budget votes, ED, we need more clarification on the issues raised by the members so that we address those concerns. But it's quite clear in terms of your program too, you made excellent progress. So it just shows you, if there's good management and commitment, you can achieve the targets. So your program too has actually proved the point that you can improve the targets. It's the form if I'm correct. Then the second issue, the vetting of personnel is critical. There is a backlog, we understand, from the 1st of April, but we need to get SSA on board, and they must assist you that we do with that. Also, the lack of performance into policing towers is a problem. Because that is one of the advantages of IPIT, the investigators got policing powers and they can you know, execute waste. So it is quite vital that you do that. The committees also, I mean, we support your efforts in dealing with the Marikana investigation. So it's quite critical that you now must deal with your baseline, but it's critical, and I think you must do whatever is possible in terms of reprioritization and also ensuring that you deal with that investigation can be concluded professionally and successfully. The issue raised regarding legal services, I think ED, we will need a report as committee. In the next 2 weeks, we'll give you 2 weeks. You must come back to this committee because you will have to do disciplinary steps. You will have to really, from management point of view, account officer point of view, deal with the issues raised by the members. We can't have where your target is very low and there is clearly capacity problems. And you need to address it because it's a concern for the committee. It's an important program, and we need to deal with it effectively going forward. Then the issue of training, I think in the previous interaction with the various departments on training, I think you indicated you will provide us with a training program, and we'll give you some more time to develop that, but it's quite clear. If the issue of training and your target there is also a bit problematic, we need a comprehensive training program. We welcome the fact that you are interacting with higher learning institutions, but I think the lessons from the Paul College is also quite clear. If you don't got the fundamental aim of what you want to achieve, you just start with one university and you sign a MEO and there you go. In the end, are you going to get the results you want to have in terms of your outcome? So we will just say, be transparent, invite more than one institution, do it correctly in terms of procurement, that when you move with a SAPWA affiliated program, you know it's going to bring results in the next 3 to 5 years, not just to keep the portfolio committee happy or the tick box. So it must be a well thought out program that will add value. The training plan is quite critical. Then also some members raised the issue of feedback regarding cases. I think that's quite vital. If there's a complaint from the member of public or from a parliamentary person, there must be proper feedback. So it speaks to your system, it speaks to your SME system. It's quite vital. There must be proper feedback at all times to complaints. Because if we don't address the issue of confidence with regard to the criminal justice system, we're not going to get a situation where the issue of policing as in Calvary in the piece of this. So we want to call on you really also when you come here in the budget, but give us a briefing on if component A goes to your office, what is the process? What is the feedback processes? And if there is a complaint about service delivery, how do you address it? Because we need to ensure that the concerns that the members raised are addressed. So thank you very much. I will allow about 3 minutes and then we'll ask the secretariat to join us for the briefing. 3 minutes, thank you. Welcome to the Acting Secretary and his team. We welcome them for their third quarter performance report, as well as a briefing on the anticipated legislative program we can expect for the current parliamentary year. Mr. Rupia, you are welcome to introduce your delegation to the Portfolio Committee, and then you are also very much welcome to proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, with me, I have Mr. Helen Basson,
who is the director of strategic planning. My name again, Alvin Pumuzurafe, acting secretary for police. I'm accompanied by the acting chief CFO, Mr. Henrik Roberts, and our parliamentary liaison officer, Mr. Sam Mountain. And you will understand, in the previous interaction, the portfolio committee will bring the line managers who are responsible for the programs. But I think when it the financials are presented, you will understand why we cut the delegation. It's in line with the belt tightening process that we are engaged in, because we are expecting an over expenditure, and we have to do our best to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Secretary, maybe just on that point too, from the portfolio committee side, we welcome this approach very much. I think in the past we've seen a lot of departments coming with big delegations, soccer teams, rugby teams, football teams, and it's quite vital that we have just a core team that can brief the committee, and we will really welcome that. That's a fresh approach, and that we spend rather money on the core business than travel and accommodation. So that's a very good step forward. You are welcome, Gareth.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, our presentation, the purpose of the presentation is to appraise the portfolio committee of the performance of the Civilian Secretariat for Police for the period September 2015 to December 2015 against its 15-16 APP, and to present a report on the expenditure for the three quarters of the 2015-16 financial year, which the acting CFO is going to present. My focus in terms of the presentation will be presenting on the performance information report, which will cover Program 1, which is the administration, the Program 2, which is the intersectoral coordination strategic partnerships, Program 3, which deals with legislation and policy development, and Program 4, which deals with the civilian oversight, monitoring, and evaluation. I will start with administration, and I must indicate that the targets that are here, we are busy reviewing them. We had an interaction with but that will be for the next financial year. We had interaction with BPME. We had an interaction with our audit committee and also the auditor general to make sure that we put in targets that are really strategic. For some of them, when we start reporting, we start not understanding what should be the performance indicators that must be presented. And our new APP is going to also have a column that says what will be the performance indicators that will be presented against the target that we have set. So it will be clear up front to avoid the issue of managers unable to present their portfolio of evidence. On Program 1, we had the following targets: the number of joint consultative IP secretariat forums meetings per year, which we had a target for the third quarter of 1. I must say that those meetings are happening as planned. For this quarter, we had our joint consultative IP Secretariat Forum meeting. And the number of quarterly reports that are submitted within prescribed time frame, the first quarter, the second quarter, the quarterly report was not submitted on time because I insisted that the internal audit needs to audit the information. And it had to be audited, so we couldn't present it in the second quarter. It was finalized in the second quarter. That's why in the third quarter we had two reports that we had to submit. It is the disciplinary one to instill so that when we do have the AG coming in, because they're going to start now in March,
one, the managers already be disciplined in terms of making sure that all the information is there. So although it shows that there is achievement of two, but it's actually an underachievement because the for the second quarter it was an achievement, although we achieved on the second quarter, on the third quarter. Second stage, in terms of compliance with the PFMA systems per year, and we're talking 100% compliance with the PFMA. As a new department, it's an important part because we were not a department before. The actual implementation of the PFMA is key to us. That's why it's there as a target that we have to comply with the PFMA prescript 100%. And percentage compliance with the BPSA performance management system is 100% because we do performance, and we have all our staff with performance agreements, and those are evaluated twice a year in terms of the performance management system that we have in place. On the next slide, the number of MINMEC meetings facilitated, which is the minister and MEC's meetings that he has with them quarterly. For this quarter, we had a target of one, but we ended up having two MINMEC meetings that we coordinated on behalf of the minister, and the extra one was a special MINMEC meeting that the minister has called to focus on specific issues. Percentage of engagement with government departments through the JCPS cluster. The target was 90%. I just want to indicate, Chair, you said the adjustment of the slide, because we adjusted certain slides in terms of that one. The comment should not be second quarter submitted in the third quarter. It should be. We are attending all the JCPS meetings, and we make inputs in the DEVCOM, and we are participating. We have attended all the meetings 100%. There was no meeting that we were not available. The registry policies for document management, there was a target to have one policy in place. A draft was developed but not approved, so that was not achieved. Then the number of approved registry filings for registration, filing, and retrieval of documents in line with MIS. We also had the file plans, but they were not approved, so it was not met. HESAL system implemented 100% as the target throughout. We are implementing the PASAL system, because previously we were under what we call the PASAL, the police system. Now we have moved into PASAL, and it's working very well. The number of workshops on approved and reviewed policies, there was no target for the third quarter. But there are some draft policies that we will be taking them through. And we also have asked the corporate services to actually run a workshops on performance management system and grievance and disciplinary procedure, which they have to do by the end of this financial year. But it's not in the target, it's an additional work that we said has to be done. The number of workshops on change management conducted, there was one targeted for, but due to the financial situation, we did not allow that expenditure to incur. It's something that we can actually do in the next year, because actually the change management process will be key when we start looking into our structure, which is something that we'll do in the new financial year. Number of corporate identity workshops. This indicator has been put forth to be dealt with by communication. It's one of those issues that actually fell by the website. It was a target for the first quarter, which was not achieved, but in the new year,
the issue about the corporate identity workshops will be done by our communication unit, which is part of the intersectoral coordination and strategic partnerships. Still on administration, the number of functional occupational health and safety committees, the target was one. We have achieved that. Percentage of leave management audit reports with an unqualified audit opinion. The target was 50% and we have achieved 60%. Number of approved employment equity plans, we don't have one. The target was that this employment equity plan will be finalized and signed off by the third quarter. We still have a draft and we still have to consult with the unions and staff internally. And we expect that we'll finalize this by the end of the financial year. Number of in-year monitoring reports, three for the third quarter, the actual performance three. Number of reports on the payment to creditors with 30 days produced. We did not prepare the report in terms of that number for this quarter. The target was one, and it was not achieved. There is a serious lack of capacity within our financial unit, which we will address in the new financial year. Number of interim and annual financial reports produced, the target was one for the third quarter and we achieved that. The number of reports of inventory value reconciled, the target was three, but the actual performance was one for the third quarter. The interim stock taking was conducted and that's the only one that we are reporting on. The number of reports on asset value reconciled, the target was three, and the actual performance was one. Then the number of reports on demand management plans implemented and monitored, target was one, and we achieved one. And the last slide on administration is the number of tracking reports of AGSA management report and internal audit recommendations produced. The target was one and we have achieved that. The number of audit committee meetings. For the second quarter we had two audit committee meetings because there was a special one. For the third quarter we were targeting to have one. But it only happened in January due to the inavailability of the members, and we still have the last one for the coming financial for this year before the end of the year, so that we deal with issues of the AG's report. I just want, honourable members, on slide 10, when we were preparing for this presentation, we started because I insisted that there should be a pie chart. But when you do the calculation manually, I realize that there is a discrepancy between what Excel has produced into a pie chart. But if those numbers, what we did, there is a slide that we actually adjusted, but taking into consideration what the chair said, we couldn't distribute it here. The figure in terms of what has been achieved should be 65%. And what was not achieved, 35% the overall performance in terms of the administration. We have an adjusted slide which we can give to members after the presentation. The next program is the intersectoral coordination and strategic partnerships. We are expected, and in terms of the legislation, we have signed agreements with civil society organizations to deal with crime prevention, to have memorandum of agreement with them in terms of partnerships. The target for the third quarter was one, and we have that one agreement done with the moral regeneration movement. And now we are actually having targeted one, which we identify
business, which business organizations are we going to sign a memorandum of agreement, which labor organizations are we going to sign, the MOU and other research-based civil society organizations. And the number of established working groups arising from the agreement is only one, because we only had one agreement. The number of anti-crime campaigns conducted were two. The target was one. The number of CSFs assessed for this quarter, there was a target of 15. But we couldn't achieve that, and this is an area that we are unable to achieve. The main problem is that this is the when you look into the presentation on the finances, this is the unit that actually overspends in the first quarter. That's why it puts us in this the problem when we're having the one in one humanity program to deal with xenophobic attacks. But the other challenge that we have is that the provinces were not submitting the reports that we should coordinate. But now we have agreement with the HODs on how we're going to deal with this matter. And the actual assessment will now be done by monitoring and evaluation instead of being done by the intersectoral coordination strategy partnerships, but that will be in the new financial year.
Just on that point, I mean, why can't this issue be raised at the minute be and ensure that the provinces comply?
It was raised with the HOD's strategic planning meeting, which is the alignment, where we look into their programs to say what our province is going to focus on and our program. That, the results of that, because it happened after the MINMET, is going to be presented to MINMET to make sure that the alignment is done. One of the decisions was to move this from monitoring and evaluation to do that, because they've got the tools and experience in terms of dealing with these issues, whereas where it was not properly placed. But it will be presented to the next MINMEC, which is going to happen in March. The number of police stations implementing school safety protocol, the target was five, and we didn't achieve on this one, but we have got a team now that is looking into this, and in the fourth quarter we'll be able to deliver on this matter. And we also realized that even SAPs do an assessment of this, and they are reporting this to the JCPS, and we have to find a way of making sure that there is no duplication in this matter. The number of assessment partnership strategies implemented through SAP's National Rural Strategy. This function also here is one area that it's about assessment, and intersectoral didn't deal with this matter. It will be also be incorporated in terms of what monitoring and evaluation does. And the provinces are the ones that actually have to do the assessment in terms of that strategy. Number of public participation programs, the target for the third quarter was two, and we achieved two. The number of provinces implementing CPF guidelines, the target was two. But all of them, we have done an assessment that they are implementing the CPF guidelines. Number of CPFs assessed, this is in terms of functionality. The target was 15, but also the issue of capacity, but because we are highly dependent on the provinces, we couldn't achieve that part. So for the partnership overall performance, we have the adjustment that we have done. We had a target of 42.
we achieved 15 and not achieved 27, which brings us to achievement of 36% and not achieved 64%, not as reflected there, because we have reflected 40% and 60%. It should be 36% achieved and not achieved 64%. The GAP program policy development and research, and this also includes its policy and legislation. On the number of policing policies developed, we for the third quarter we had a target of one, and we have developed the paper on professionalization of the police. The number of research of reports on research projects conducted, the demilitarization of subs, the firearms management in subject. This was the target for the second quarter. So for the third quarter, there was no target for that. But we are busy with the research in terms of the demilitarization of subs, following the finalization of the concept paper on professionalization. As I speak, the team is out in the province doing the field work. And on the issue of the firearm management in SADC, it was changed that the focus should be on dealing with the review of the firearms registration and the task team that actually was established by the minister. Number of reports on special projects, it was for the second quarter. There was no target for the third quarter. Research Information Center maintained, the target was one, and the actual performance is one. So we have a report in terms of what needs to be achieved quarterly, and those reports are the reports that I sign and go and assess in terms of the functioning of that resource center. But the intention is actually to create a knowledge management center that actually will be able to house all the research information policies, and any other papers that are produced, that if you go into our website, you will be able to get this information easier. That is going to be something that we'll look into in the new financial year. The legislation, number of bills to be introduced to Parliament, we are not doing well on this matter. But I think it's an issue that I will deal with when we deal with the legislation program. And the number of bills, regulations drafted, because all the bills, the regulations that we said will draft, it's based on the new bills that will be introduced. And so they must first become an act before we can develop the regulations. So we didn't meet the targets for that. Overall policy and legislation, overall performance, we had four targets. Two were achieved and not achieved two, which is in the sub-program legislation. Then the last program is the civilian oversight monitoring and evaluation. We had a number of oversight visits to police station conducted. We targeted that we were going to have five, but we could only achieve two. And we had to make the decision to say, do we go ahead with this? And we said, if we can do two, it will be enough, because that will be supplemented also by what the provinces do themselves. So we cut that budget in order to address the challenges that we have for that traveling. Number of oversight visits reports, five, and we didn't do those. And HR constraints, and also the issue of the budget constraints. But in the fourth quarter, we'll be able to report on the overall for the financial year. Number of police service labor trends reports, it was not target for this quarter.
and the number of set badges of program performance assessment reports produced. We didn't have a target, but we produced one report. Number of reports on SEPS implementation of IPIT recommendation. The report was done, and we didn't want to report it as partially achieved, but also there was no target for the third quarter. The report is not yet approved, but we will be finalizing that. The number of audit reports related to the VA Act finalized, there was no target for the third quarter. Number of monitoring reports on implementation and compliance to policing policy. We had a target of for the third quarter of one, but that report, it came to me and it was not meeting the standards, and we had to return it back. It was finalized in the fourth quarter. Number of provincial MAE capacity building sessions held for this quarter, there was no target. Number of reports on the status of compliance with the legislation by SEPS. There was no report, but the report will be finalized and reporting will be done on the fourth quarter. Number of evaluation reports on the legislation passed. The third quarter, there was one. We have a challenge in terms of the data analysis, analyst position, which is vacant. And we can only fill some of these positions in the new financial year. We even asked State SA to assist us with the staff, but they did not send anyone to assist. Number of assessment reports on complaints management produced, there was no target for this quarter. Number of information management systems developed and maintained, the target was one. But we are rethinking on this thing in terms of what is it that we are looking into. It should be part of our information and communication technology strategy, not coming in as a standalone. Number of assessment reports on critical areas affecting police conduct. We didn't achieve, there was a target of one there. And the main reason was that there was a delay in collecting data from SAPS. Overall, and it's normally a best performing unit, but for this quarter their performance dipped. The target was 14 targets, but they only managed to achieve 3, which is 21%. I think the slide today talks about the 86% on the pie chart. And they didn't achieve 79% of the targets. Overall, in terms of the departmental performance, we had for this quarter 92 targets. We managed to achieve 41 of those targets, which is 45%, and we couldn't achieve 55% of the targets. I just want to just highlight in terms of numbers of the employees that we have. We have 114 funded posts, and we have filled 107 of them. The percentage of personnel in terms of approved establishment is 94%, and we have 7 posts that are vacant, and which is a 6% vacancy rate. The critical posts that are not filled include the Secretary of Police, which the current Secretary is on a fixed-term contract of 12 months until the 31st of August. And the CFO position is also a acting capacity. We don't have a director IT. It is vacant. I've already reported in terms of the internal audit and risk management, but maybe what I want to inform the committee on that part is that we made a decision now to combine the risk committee and the audit committee in
audit and risk committee to make sure that the risk alignment. As a small department, right, we don't need those two committees. And actually, the risk committee, we only had a chair who is external, but the rest is made up of managers. So we want to make sure that all the risk issues are addressed in the audit and risk committee, rather than having the two parallel structures. So the external person who was the chair of the risk committee will become a member of the audit and risk committee. To improve issues of governance, we had three awareness sessions on the conflict of interest. We developed the gift register, and it has been approved. We also, before the staff went on holidays, developed the ATM fraud awareness leaflet that we distributed, and we now have a whistleblowing policy that which we are implementing through the awareness campaign. For the last quarter, we have put in the white papers, the white paper on policing and the white paper on the white paper on policing and the white paper on safety and security have to be finalized before the end of March, going to cabinet. Actually, we are processing the cabinet memo for March, and we also want to finalize the paper on demilitarization of SAPS also before the end of March 2016. I'll now hand over to the acting CFO to take us through the finances.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members, on the slide on the expenditure, program expenditure, you would see that at the end of December, the department has spent 87.1 million of its 105 million budget, which comes to about 83%. Now, on a normal spending pattern, it would have been about 78%, so it does mean that we are overspending in some areas, and if we carry on even with some of the things that we've put in place to curtail expenditure, it currently looks as if we will overspend with about almost 3 million rand, which will bring our spending to 102.8%. If we go to the slide on the economic classification, you can see that on compensation of employees, we are just above the trend of about 75 to 77%, which shows that we are actually going to overspend on our compensation of employees, and I'll get into a bit more detail about that just now. On goods and services, we are our budget is almost finished, but between the secretary and I and some of the senior managers, we've put a lot of things in place to make sure that we do not overspend on that budget specifically. The next slide we've put in there to show you that we have really made an effort as a department to slow down on our goods and services spending. You can see in the first 6 months of the year that the average spending was between 3 and 4 million, maybe even 5 million a month, and we've now brought it down to around 1 million rand a month. And we are still reaching some of our target that we're supposed to reach as a department. On the straight line comparison with our spending, we are at about 83%, and on the straight line we should have been around about 75%. And even if you compare it with our cash flow that we submit to the National Treasury, we're just above what we actually indicated. Now, the main thing is that our over expenditure so far looks as if it's going to be on compensation of employees, around about 2.9 million rand. And as soon as we overspend on our budget, it could be regarded as unauthorized, and that would mean an immediate qualification on our annual financial statements. So to curtail some of this overspending, we have left all the vacant positions unfilled up for now. And another reason why, or contributing factor for this overspend, was the personnel that was appointed at the Firearms Appeal Board, the Office of the DCI Judge, and the DNA Board, which we are responsible for, but we didn't receive any additional funding to cover for those members. The 3 million that we show as a possible overspending can mainly be attributed to the 5 members of the Firearms Appeal Board, who used to be compensated by SAPS, but are now compensated by us. And also the annual salary adjustment was also higher than originally anticipated, and this year Treasury couldn't give any department additional funding as unforeseen and unavoidable for that larger than normal increase, and that also contributed. On the goods and services, the main reason why we are in the position we are is the money that was spent on the We Are One anti-xenophobic campaign. And although we did ask the Treasury Committee for unforeseen and unavoidable, it was not approved, and because of that we need to carry that expense within our baseline. And that's all from me, thank you.
Presentation from the Secretariat, let's go to questions. Honourable Mulabati.
Yeah, Chairperson. Since I have put a lot of things that were said here are very worrying, Chairperson.
This CFO just said the budget is almost finished. What do you do then after that? Do you go shop? What happens? Also worrying is the fact that your intersectoral coordination strategy partnership also doesn't show a big picture. Also worrying is the fact that legislation is not forthcoming. My next question is, is your office still located within the offices of SAP? My next one is, when are you filling in the post of CFO, seeing that you still have an acting CFO? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Let me just see that. Okay. Just a very, very quick one from slide 9, in terms of the audit committee meetings. The third quarter target wasn't met, but it was said that the December meeting would be postponed until January this year, just to check if that January meeting did in fact happen. And then there's a number of indicators in which certain reports or other sort of uploads are said to have not been approved, and that's why targets weren't met. I just wanted to find out who was meant to do that approval. Which results in those documents not being approved. I'm just trying to find an example. I didn't see all of them. For example, slide 21 talked about reports on implementation and compliance to public order policing and self implementation of IP recommendations. Who's going to be doing that sign off and approval, which would then enable that target to be met? And then just a question for clarity on slide, what's in the fund in the expenditure reports, slide 30. Can I just get clarity on what is meant by that the, supposed call it a sub-column, headlined outstanding payments and commitments, within the column of the actual figures, because that's clearly where a lot of the expenditure is bumping up over the threshold, which will result in that over expenditure by the end of the financial year. What does that mean that there are outstanding payments and commitments exactly?
Honourable Bele, Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. In slide 7, what do you mean of lack of capacity? My second question, this thing of retrieved and made approval, who's approving? In slide 9, the thing is not adopted. Why they are not adopted? In slide 12 and 14, provinces not forwarding reports. Whose responsibility to make for us when the provinces are not complying? Thank you, Chair President.
Honourable Maki, and then Honourable Songo.
Thank you, Chair President. Mine would be, if I could get an overall assessment from the Secretariat, where are we now? What problems are we facing? What needs to be done? And how can we come in into the whole situation? I understand it's in your department, but at least just an overview of where we are now and what needs to be done and what can we do as a committee to help. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, Chairperson, I must be very honest with the honourable management of this body. To me, this report is just showing that there is no management at all, completely. You see, it's like a voluntary body of some kind. Of provinces are not providing reports. You are not even told of an action plan to say at the management level, because you can only if a person is on the payroll of state and is refusing to actually then implement what is decided by the authorities above him or her. What is the duty of giving that person a thereby of government? It's just a casual thing, it's just diseases, really. So it tells me that there is no direction at all from the side of management, current management, that is briefing the committee. The reason why I'm raising this, Mr. Chairperson, is because you see, there is a feeling out there that some members of the executive, even in provinces, there will be cases that will be decided to investigate and some not to investigate. And you have got a dead body like this, we ought to be actually then championing the whole discourse. Our people shall remain victims of the systems of political bureaucracy of life. Because we depend entirely on this particular secretariat body to ensure that they break whatever ice and ensure maximum cooperation between members in blue, which then is going to enhance professionalization of police. But if then we've got a picture like this, I'm really afraid. There is, you know, right now we are talking of the national body, the sickness, or the weakness of the national body. There is no way in this report whereby we are told of that re-engineering mechanisms at provincial levels. To this particular report, really, it's highlighted this to be right, so that Because this is almost the third time when I'm getting to a meeting of civilian secretary, lamenting by management, not as a strategy. Things must be done. There must be a cut-off position to say, the past stop here and there is nothing further. Now, if those people of the provinces are not doing their work, and senior management at the national level is just lamenting as it is, who are then to cut the whip to those people? If those people are just allowing to themselves, they can provide the report or simply not comply. And that the national management will be coming to the committee lamenting. There is no management here.
Yeah. Thank you, members. Yes, I think the acting secretary took over in a very difficult situation because when he took over, remember there was the qualified audit and other issues. So, you know, the patient was already in ICU. But the members are actually saying, should we not take the patient from the ICU to the Mayo Clinic? Is that the next step? And I think the big thing is the assurance, because in terms of the aims of the Secretariat in the Act is actually to monitor South African Police Service. So if that monitoring institution is not able to do it, it raises various questions. So I think what the committee really needs is assurance, the turnaround. It's an issue we raised previously with the Acting Secretary in a committee meeting, and I asked the question, I said to him, because even if you get your vacancy right, you only got 7 vacancies. So you've got enough staff to do your core business, but do you've got the team? That is still my million-dollar question at this stage. Do you've got the team at your chief director and director level to give guidance? And in terms of management experience, qualifications, performance management to do the job? Because that is really, because the members raise issues of compliance, getting reports. It's not rocket science, it's compliance, doing the list. And that's the concern, I think, of the committee. And then acting secretary, we will need to have assurances with regard to that. Because my other concern as well is the basis of the basic governance model. I'm not in agreement with the fact that there should be now one committee of the audit and risk. It's a huge risk in itself. The audit committee's got a specific role to play. The risk committee, their role. If we now taking shortcuts, maybe in the short term, in the long and medium term, it's going to court, it's going to catch up with us. We need effective controls within the organization. So I think really what we need from you, sir, is to give us an indication that in terms of your team, you've got the team. If you don't have the team, and we asked it a couple of months ago, what will you, from the acting accounting officer's side, to do to ensure that we move, you know, these issues along? Because a lot of the issues is really, you know, issues that we can control. Thank you. Please have your response.
Thanks, Chairperson. Perhaps I should just start with the question raised by the Chair and also Honorable Mark and to an extent Honorable Mhlongo, because I think they are very much related. As you rightfully said, Chairperson, as I came and find this institution in the ICU, when you start touching here, you find that there's something that is going the other side. And especially when you don't have the budget to do certain things, you find you are constrained. We have managers. These pockets of excellence in the secretariat. These areas wherein you have people who are not pulling their weight, and we have identified those areas, and they are receiving attention. One of the things that I put in terms of an intervention to deal with some of the weaknesses was to take all the senior managers for the finance, for non-financial managers, because I realized that there were very few maybe would understand what was their responsibility in terms of managing finances. They went on the program and they had to even submit assignments to make sure that they are really competent who can manage their budgets.
there are people, for instance, in the intersectoral, which you have indicated, there's somebody acting in the intersectoral coordination and strategic partnerships, because the person who is appointed there has been assigned by the minister to deal with other problems that included that reference groups was part of that, and they're still working on that project. Somebody was acting there and I ended up taking that person away to get somebody to, and if not from within the unit, there's another one, there's somebody who will be looking into the functional responsibilities, because this program links up with the work that the minister is doing. He has given the responsibility to the person who deals with stakeholder management in his office to actually link that function and actually supervise the work that they do, because we couldn't even find anyone internal who could take up that role and be able to deal on this important work. And in terms of administration, I appointed one of the people to deal with administration. So functionally, these people will be responding to this. But it's just to manage the current situation that we find ourselves in. And I think when we go into the financial year, we will have resources that actually will assist us in dealing with the challenges. And we believe that we'll be able to manage those resources effectively. We don't have a situation that by the first quarter you have blown the budget and now you have to tighten the belt. We had, as I indicated, that a strategic planning session with the HODs of provinces to deal with issues of alignment. You find when you are requesting reports, it's finger pointing. Now that we have an agreement with the provinces in terms of how do we align our function and how do we work together, which are the responsibilities that belongs to the provinces and which are the responsibilities that belong to the national, and how are we going to work together, that has been cleared. It's one of the issues that is going to assist in terms of the turnaround. And one of the things that we agreed with the HODs is that we need to have a standardized structure for provincial offices of the secretary, because there's no standardized structure. And it has to come in the form of a directive by the minister. Because if you don't do like that, when you go, every MEC wants to do it their own way. And we are also going to restructure the department to make sure that all the functions that are identified in the legislation are actually addressed. So I think in the new financial year we'll be able to give you proper plan. I could have run away within the 3 months, but I cannot give up because I know this is a very important department that needs to be turned around. And I know with the support that you have, even with your advice, we spoke to the Auditor General who come and assist us. They couldn't send a person physically because they also have their constraints. But they monitor our information, they advise the acting CFO to deal with the challenges that we're having. Maybe I will now go to the other questions that are specific. What do you do when the budget is finished? You can say, I can't do anything, and you stop. Nothing gets done. And you can take a risk and you say, I will explain that I've done what I can do as the accounting officer, but I couldn't manage to. The over expenditure that we're looking at could have been much, much higher. The interventions that we're making will showcase that we are making a turnaround. But we chose to say we are not going to just stop and say we are overspending, so we won't do anything. We will do whatever we can to make sure that we achieve those targets that can be achieved. And hopefully, that when we go to SCOPA, if it happens that we get the
finally over expenditure, that they will be able to condone the expenditure that doesn't get taken from the new year. Because what happens if it's not condoned, it means that that money has to come in the new financial year. But it's not a huge amount like we had in the first quarter, something that we could actually manage with reprioritization. I've already addressed the issue about partnership that we had to change because there was no leadership in that area. The issue of legislation, I think, it's not that there is no capacity. We don't have enough people. But the people who are there know what needs to happen. But I think we overestimated our capacity. When we say we bring the legislation, we forget that there are processes that need to happen before we come to the to Parliament, and those were not taken in, and I think it's because of lack of experience in terms of the people who were there, but that we are addressing now. We are still housed in the SAPS building. There was no way that we could move because we don't have the funding. One of the reasons why we are managing actually to reduce this projected over expenditure is because we are not moving into another building. The CFO post, the advert I have signed, that is a matter of now putting it in the newspaper, and should be done this weekend. Honorable Mbele, the meeting of the audit committee in January, it did take place, it actually approved the project plan for the auditor general, so that they start now with the work of the annual report, which is going to start in from the 1st of March when they do the planning. The issue about who is supposed to approve the targets. This one, especially as I indicated, the POP policy is the one that you made an example of. It came to me to approve and it was sent back. I'm the one, so maybe the way we report, we shouldn't deal with that. It was not approved in the quarter, but the work was actually done. So we can report now in the fourth quarter that the report is there. It has been done, and I think I shared with the portfolio committee when we made a presentation on the risks in the police. That's the actual report. So it was finally approved. But at the time of the end of the quarter, it was not yet ready to go and redo it. Okay, the CFO will deal with the issue about the outstanding payments and communications. Slide 7, Honorable Mula, is what do you mean by lack of capacity? But I think when I answered the first question, which I combined, I referred basically to that. So I don't know if I will need to be specific on that. Thank you, Honorable. Province is not submitting records. We're supposed to coordinate. I think there was obligation of responsibility by HODs, and I think the alignment that should happen, that we agreed that is going to happen. We won't have this issue happening again going forward. Minutes not approved. Which side was that? What was the issue about the minutes approved? My colleagues will also help me, Mr. Basson. You also wrote this report, so you will understand what maybe Mr. Basson must look into this. I think, Chair, mostly those are the issues that I thought were raised. The CFO can respond on that one, and Mr. Basson.
Thank you, Chair. Outstanding payments and commitments, what this column refers to is the projection that we've made until the 31st of March for salaries as well as the amount that we will need for goods and services to the until the end of the financial year per program. And it's included, if you look at the economic classification, the outstanding authorized purchases line shows 20.04, which is the same as the one on the programs. It does mean that we've made a projection on the compensation of employees as the current salaries stand, and then also the amount available for goods and services going forward. So it's more like a projection than really outstanding payments or commitments.
Yes, Chairperson. I heard the acting secretary saying MECs do different things in provinces. Now, I'm sitting here asking myself, don't they take marching orders from the UNED? Answer.
Honorable Mbeda also follow up, and also Mimula follow up.
Yes. It actually relates to the similar issue as Honorable Mulevasi is speaking to, because it can be very easy to get confused. Initially, I was as well, until I reminded myself by looking at the acts that governs the secretariat, is to remember that the provincial secretariats aren't like the provincial offices, for example, of the IBIT. They are entities where, I think it says here that the MEC appoints appoints the head of a provincial secretariat. So when provinces fail to forward reports, it's not that there's a subordinate manager within the secretariat who fails to comply with their obligations. We're talking about a different sphere of government who have a statutory obligation to align and to cooperate, but it's not within the same organization. So I actually think, in terms of the reporting formats of the secretariats, it might be useful if they could reflect in some way the kind of two aspects of their work. There's the work they do directly around monitoring, policy drafting, legislation drafting. So that's within your direct sphere of control. And then there's the other work and the targets attached to that, which are contingent on other entities and other spheres fulfilling their function, just so it becomes clear that, you know, when something is not done, this is directly our failing, or this is because a partner on whom our work depends have pulled their weight. Then it becomes a lot clearer for anybody looking at face value exactly what this means.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question was on slide 9. Where you said two meetings in July, but minutes not adopted. Thank you.
Acting secretary, you will deal with that. If you can add, Mr. Basson, because my colleague here actually clarified what that means. See, one of the evidence that the internal audit will look for is when you say you had meetings, then they will look for approved meetings by the chair. So if those minutes were not approved in the meeting for whatever reason and they go over, they will say, yeah, but you have attended this, but where is the signed minutes? I don't know if you would want to add on that, then I can deal with the other issue.
Acting Secretary, Mr. Sissou.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I think the Secretary dealt with it, but on slide 9, the two meetings that is referred to are the two meetings in the second quarter, and the minutes were not adopted. And again, the Secretary, since coming in September, installed mechanisms when we do reports and things, etc., that those, before we report on those to Parliament or to National Treasury or to DPE, that those are approved. If it's not approved, then the DC was not delivered. And therefore, the comments here refers to minutes that are not approved. But the minutes are there, but we would like to see that all minutes and all reports are approved and signed off. And it's also the role that when we send our reports to internal audit, that they look at evidence, and if there's no evidence, then there's no report.
Thanks, Chair. On the
issue of MECs, I think my comment was in relation to, for example, you will have safety and security and transport and under one department. And they will have other provinces will have somebody who they say it's head of monitoring and evaluation, and they don't appoint and send a letter to the minister to say we're appointing this person, whereas other departments, they do, because it must be done, the appointment must be done in consultation with the minister. Other provinces will submit a letter to say we interviewed this person, this is the CV that the person has, and we've recommended the person to be the provincial secretary. Other provinces don't have the provincial secretary. That's that inconsistency that we're talking about. And with the issue of standardization of the structure for provinces, it will actually alleviate this problem. But when we go to MINMEC every quarter, we coordinate with all the provinces. They submit their provincial reports, which get tabled in the at MINMEC, which represent the national picture in terms of our work on monitoring and evaluation and all the other interventions that we are doing. You also find that the reports, you have to follow them over a period, but the HODs, with the alignment that we have, the strategic planning, there is an agreement that the submissions will be done and all the MECs have to sign off on the report that they've tabled. So that's the issues that we are addressing. Other follow-ups? Any other questions outstanding?
No, Chairperson, thanks. No, I think Chairperson maybe will need as a committee to reapply our minds in order to get this department moving, because I think my colleague beside has actually clarified something which actually slipped my mind. This semi-federalistic nature involved, which is very dangerous, because I think that's where this kind of a burden comes even to the administration that we are trying to put in place. At the end of the day, which according to me will actually hamper to a great deal the kind of expected service delivery. But then lastly, Mr. Chairperson, I wonder, Mr. Chairperson, because if I look at the head of the department here, the honorable gentleman here. It may be, because you have got a whole lot of acting. If there are going to some kind of a move towards voting and filling up of these with competent people of these positions, with competent people, so that the workload doesn't collapse, because I can see him, he's collapsing. He's collapsing because you touch this, and as he's putting, I can hear him, what he's trying to say. You try to touch this, he collapses you. You try, because it means there is no sufficient support within the arm of Lungan. And I can tell you, Mr. Chairperson, if it is like this, up until the end of our term, we have always been lamenting, because we will never know what is it that is just behind that, in terms of ensuring that the civilian secretary cannot actually stand on his both feet. Thanks.
Maybe I just wanted to know the briefing on the legislation. Is it very short? Or I think let's do that, and your any responses to the input of the members, and then I'll just close with a few concluding remarks. You're welcome to go ahead. Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. The note regarding the combining of risk and audit committee, we take that note, and we'll come back with a response next time. Yes, we'll take that advice. Chairperson, honorable members, we don't have a presentation per se. We just want to highlight what are the legislations that we have prioritized.
Number one on our priority is the critical infrastructure protection bill, which in next month, in March, it will be going to cabinet. All comments, the what they call the social economic impact assessment was done. Now we're packaging it to go into cabinet in March. And what we'll do is immediately after cabinet say go publish it, we'll come and brief the committee that's okay with you. So we have a plan that talks about the second half of the year, which we might actually fast track. Once the approval is done, we can actually deal with it immediately. So I will actually, once it's done, we'll ask the minister to actually request the chair to submit that this matter be put on the agenda. The next one is the Firearms Control Amendment Bill. The report that the minister established the task team that was looking into all the research work and the input that came from the seminar that was held, which involved the portfolio committee, that report now is finalized. It has been submitted to the minister. We will be finalizing it and would like to go sometimes in April. We will have to go to cabinet. We'll start now the review of the amendment process following from that. And once cabinet says we can publish the amended draft bill, we will actually come to the committee immediately. The other one is the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Amendment Bill, which we are also looking into. Over and above other issues that the IP has identified, there was also the case that is going to the Constitutional Court, which it might require amendments. So we are looking to that, and this is the bill that will also come. We haven't looked into a date to cabinet, but we believe that the process should happen, that it gets introduced around October 2016. The Animal Movement and Animal Produce Bill is one of the bills that we're looking at also for this year. But we haven't finalized the issue of this year, and we haven't got a date to go to cabinet on this one. The other one is on the protection of the constitutional democracy against terrorism-related matters amendment bill. This one is still awaiting the court case. This man from Nigeria that, what's his name? I've forgotten the name. Oh, God, yes. He has taken a challenge on this one, so it's highly dependent on that if this process goes through the Constitutional Court, then we'll be able to, the draft is there already. But then we have the SAPS Amendment Act, which is dependent on the white paper on policing, which we have finalized. We are going to cabinet in March also together when we go with the critical infrastructure protection bill. So if the white paper, because we have prioritized that, must be approved now, then we will start back on it. We are looking at this thing. We didn't put it in our program for this year, and I'm talking the calendar year, but it will be this financial year, maybe coming year with it in January. To be in January, but when the parliament opens, maybe the last quarter of our financial year. Those are the areas, Chairperson. One other issue that we will be bringing here, it's the regulations for the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service Act. It was once in the agenda and it was removed. The minister cannot proclaim those regulations without coming through the portfolio committee. And it's one of the issues they are ready. We will be sending to the minister to ask the chair to put us on the agenda, and it just will happen next month. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you to the Acting Secretary and his delegation, as well as to the members. I think, once again, the Secretariat, in terms of the legislative framework of oversight over the police, is a critical institution. And our task as Portfolio Committee until the end of the term in 2019 is to ensure those institutions function effectively. I think we recognize the challenges, the fact that Acting Secretary is in an acting position. I think since the start of the term, there hasn't been a permanent appointment. I think you've indicated in your briefing today a permanent appointment will happen, post will be advertised. So we welcome that. Because it's a prerequisite again for instability. There must be permanency, there must be at the top. So that's quite critical. From the Portfolio Committee side, there should be a permanent accounting officer. Very important. The second issue is, in terms of the skill sets for your top management and EMS members, is critical. Because if you look at your numbers, and the different versions in the E&E, they say you've got 120, the Treasury says 130, and the CSP says you've got 140. So we need clarity as well from your strategic unit, what is your actual headcount. But within those numbers, we need excellence. We need chief directors and directors who can drive. And we recognize what you indicated today, what will be done. So we acknowledge that there is a current review of the performance targets, but it should be further clarified. We don't have reports and there's no target. It doesn't help. Also, the relationship with the provincial secretariats, of course, it's a cooperative relationship. So I think a lot of emphasis should go into that to ensure that that is given the necessary importance. We've heard, we welcome the report on the legislation, but as a committee, we need those legislation much more earlier, especially the critical infrastructure bill is a matter we can't delay anymore. Also, the copy of the paper on professionalisation, the committee will welcome also a copy of that to look into this. And then also movement, the acting positions of your senior staff at chief director level, we need also to stabilise that. Because I think as soon as those issues are settled, you will be able to deal with issues effectively. But I think what you also indicated, the issue of the appeals board and other unfunded mandates, or where the decisions were taken that now it's the baby of the secretariat, and in terms of your MTF, there is a provision, I think there should be serious discussions with the political principals and Treasury to turn the situation around, because it means you're going to be stuck with that mandate and there's no baseline for that. So from the Portfolio Committee side, we'll monitor that because it's critical. The secretariat must be a success. And we will monitor that as we go forward. Members, thank you very much. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, next week. We will have a briefing from the DNA board on the current activities, as well as from CIRA on the third quarter. And we're also looking at minister reports. That's next Wednesday. So thank you very much, members, for your participation. The meeting is closed.